Hey, with me on the huddle this evening, we have Claire Delore, journalist, and Mike Munro, former chief of staff to Jacinda Ardern. Hello, you two.
Hello, you two.
Good evening.
Claire, are you into the gang patch ban?
It's a kind of interesting process they're going through. I don't think it's going to change anything, actually. At the end of the day, to use that dreadful
The consultation expression. At the select committee.
The consultation, yeah. You know, they'll go through these steps. But I don't even think when the law is implemented, it's going to change very much. Except perhaps the end of that description, distinctive facial tattoo, because if they're going to replace the patches with a tattoo on the face, they're presumably going to all have to get the same one, or else they really will be distinctive.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, like, it does seem to me that also the police are not going to be able to police it very effectively. However, I guess, you know, this coalition...
Why can't they police it effectively?
Don't have enough police to go to all the burglaries even right now. You know, I mean, you know, the police are quite busy.
I mean, is it about that, though? Because how I understood it, Claire, is simply that it gives the police another thing to crack down on them for. So if they're walking through town, intimidating people and being dickheads, there is a law now where you can go, actually, you guys, you need to break it up and get back home because your patch is not allowed.
Well,
in town.
It'd be an interesting point of law as to whether they are intimidating you or whether you feel intimidated.
But they don't need to now prove whether I'm being intimidated, because with this law, they can simply say there's a patch ban, go home, get out of here, right? So it gives them a tool to get rid of them off the streets.
Well, I think there'll be some interesting legal arguments go on over that.
Okay, what do you reckon, Mike?
Yeah, it's unenforceable. You know, this measure is about kowtowing to a noisy group of reactionary voters on the centre-right of politics, and it's a cosmetic measure that just won't work. There's already a lot of tensions between, you know, the police and gangs, and as Julia Spellman, the Murray Law Society person, pointed out from the select committee, this is only going to inflame the tensions between the cops and the gangs, and it's actually going to make it harder to get people to leave gangs who they regard as family anyway. It'll take us nowhere.
We keep on saying it doesn't work. It's worked all over Australia. It worked in Whanganui when it was there. Why wouldn't it work now?
I thought in Whanganui it was ruled to be illegal by the courts.
It was, but before that it worked.
Well, I don't know what you mean by worked.
Well, the local
gang
inspector
membership
said
continues to go up and up. And the number of violent crimes being committed by gang members hasn't abated at all in recent years.
The local inspector said that it dropped the number of gang members by 15%, which is a significant number.
Yeah, but you know, it might have dropped members in the short term, but the impact that gangs are having on communities and the intimidation and the anxiety they're causing in communities, that hasn't abated. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence.
Well,
of any evidence.
We'll soon have the chance to see.
Hey, here's a question for you, though. Why are we always Claire, why do we always poo-poo this stuff? Why don't we just give it a crack?
Well, I think we will be giving it a crack as a country.
But why do we all have to sit here going, oh, it's not going to work?
Well, I guess we're kind of used to most of these things getting overturned in court or actually not working.
Yeah.
And people do find ways around laws. They do find ways of circumventing them. For example, you know, the threat that they will all get facial tattoos
but
connect.
My question is, I can point you to states in Australia where it works. I can point you to evidence that it works in Whanganui, and we still are contrarian about it.
And we can point to the fact that the cops in most of those states have got guns on their side. So they are going...
Now you're ratcheting it
well,
up.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, there's only so far you're going to be able to ratchet this thing up.
Fair enough.
You need to be really careful.
These problems are highly complex problems. And they're only going to be addressed over time, and they're going to be addressed by trying to eliminate the factors and the reasons that drive young people into gangs, taking patches off them and stopping them, gathering in public places. This is just cosmetic. It's just short-term stuff. You might get a slight drop in gang numbers for a while, but the problem's going to come back because the long-term drivers are not being addressed. So it's time-wasting.
I do think you need to address the long-term drivers, but I'm also into this. We'll take a quick break, come back to you guys. All right, you're back with a huddle, Claire Delore and Mike Munro. Mike, I want to get your take on the Wellington-Reading Cinema deal. Good or bad idea? Gone now. Good or bad idea?
Well, I actually thought it was a good idea from what I'd read and heard about it. Because, look, that part of Wellington, Heather, is in a hell of a state. I was down that way this morning, actually. I was in the Mann Street area walking towards Courtney Place, and it sort of struck me how many dilapidated buildings there are, how many shut-down businesses, how grimy and grubby the whole place is.
Yeah.
And right at the centre of that, of course, is this Reading building, which has been sitting empty for 5 years. And I've been looking forward to something happening with it. Okay, it's fallen over now. And I understand the reasons are quite complex and to do with money and council politics. But having made a decision, let's get it knocked down and replaced with something bright and fresh looking, because that part of the city desperately needs it.
Go clear.
That deal seemed to be so...
That deal was a shocker.
Such a loser for Wellingtonians.
So
and the problem in Wellington is very, very widespread and easily seen, despite being widespread, because it's a small city. So you, within a short space of time, you can see the Amora Hotel sitting there.
Yes.
A complete wreck. You have got the town hall not finished, mm-hmm. the library. And then you have the Reading Cinema site. So why not actually listen to somebody like Mark Denychik? So Mark Denychik, I think I've got the name right.
You have, yeah.
Who offered to try and work with them on a solution and was ignored.
But you'd need Reading to agree to it. Mike, I wonder actually if we haven't got to the point with Wellington where a law needs to be passed. And I say this sincerely, I've thought about this for a long time, where we actually need to pass a law to give, to somehow empower the council to force these landowners to knock down buildings or do something with it. They can't just sit there land banking them.
Yeah, well, that is one possible solution. I agree with you that something has to happen to the building stock down there.
What else would you do?
That part of the city is becoming a turn-off to people because it's so unattractive and so undesirable. I think there's some merit in looking at that and a law change that encourages some action, because that part of the city is going to continue to suffer as long as we carry on doing, you know, very little, just leaving it the way it is.
I can't see the current coalition government wanting to bring in a law change that would go against private property owners' rights.
It would run against.
It would go against what they stand for. Totally. I also can't see them wanting to go ahead with a very logical solution, which is put in a commissioner or two or three, because at the moment Wellington, it's just, but that's an undemocratic sort of a thing. But, you know, can you imagine if you had, say, a Fran Wild actually getting on and doing things with that depth of experience and the ability to see through all the nonsense and just get on with it.
I agree with you. Hey, answer me this question, Mike. Why is it that over 45-year-olds are drinking more than kids at the moment while driving? What's up?
Are you looking at me?
You are an over 45-year-old. What's up with you people? Why are you behaving like this?
You ageist.
Yeah, and you.
Yes, I'm very ageist. I'm shocked. Where's this data coming from?
AMI. They did a survey. Okay. They found, to be fair, look, it's negligible stuff. Like, it's not negligible. It's pretty close-run thing. But over 45-year-olds, 25% of them have self-reported drink driving or drug driving, whereas of the 18 to 44-year-olds, it's only 17%. So what's up?
Well, I find that difficult to explain.
You want to plead the Fifth Amendment?
Maybe more mature citizens think the cops are going to be looking at the younger driver rather than us.
Oh, that's not true. I was stopped recently.
Maybe the feeling that we're the ones who are not going to attract
you. You were stopped recently, weren't you, Claire? But you had to blow twice because they didn't believe your first reading.
Yeah, either that or it failed or something. But I knew that I was okay. You know, I'd had two drinks over about 3 hours and some food. But, you know, just driving into a checkpoint, towards a checkpoint, knowing you can't turn around and go somewhere else, even if you are really confident, and I would not get behind the wheel of my car if I wasn't, you know, I actually declined a third drink and went an hour without anything. I'm glad I did. But you still have that little heart-stopping moment.
I get scared when I've done nothing wrong and I see the police officer.
Are you a
standing
Catholic?
There.
especially
the guilt thing.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think all of the stats now show that older people are drinking more than younger people.
Yeah.
They're possibly doing some sort of more, from their point of view, interesting recreational stuff that we just don't even know
Video
about.
Video games?
No, I was sort of thinking of drugs, really, Heather, I probably don't even know the names of. And I'm not saying they're a better thing. But
they found something that's not
we're
alcohol.
Just old-fashioned.
That's right. Hey, thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Claire Delord, journalist, and Mike Munro, former chief of staff to Jacinda Ardern, is coming up 7 away from 6.
For more from Heather Duplessy-Allen Drive, listen live to News Talk ZB from 4 p.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.